You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
My name is Anne, and I'm a very grateful recovering compulsive eater and sugar addict. And the first thing I'm say that because, I guess for qualification, I will say that I am not actually a HAL member. I will say that I do have a food plan that has progressed over time. And my beginning in OA is not in that direction anyway. So when I was 17, about, I think there was some teaching about alcoholism. I'm not sure what the connection was, but I said, listening to about alcoholism, I said, that's what I am. I'm a sugaraholic. Very aware that sugar could control my life and in many ways. And I'm grateful that I had that. I found OA 20 years later. After having had some success in, one was a religious book that I was reading and writing, making and doing a journal and stuff, but all by myself. And the second one was learning a connection and getting an aha moment that maybe it wasn't about what my mom had done or anybody else had done in my life. Maybe it was about me and back to sugar again. And I found I could still talk myself into, I was pregnant with my son, who, my son has Down syndrome. That's important because I was pregnant with my son and the doctor said, oh, you're not gaining very much weight. So I said to myself, I know how to do that. So I went back to eating sugar. Like, that's also a problem. But 20 years later, I found OA because I was choosing between OA and another non-pay way program. And I'm grateful I came into OA and I'm grateful that I had sugar as a problem. As I say, sugar worked so well so early on that I never became an alcoholic because at that point, so this was, I came into OA on April 19th, 1983. And I know this because a year later, I was going to be moving and I thought, I'm going to be moving. I guess I have to get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. My sponsor went back and found the date that I came into program. There are two big gifts in the program. One, AA made sense to me, and two, my sponsor had looked this thing up. So I really saw it as gifts. And I knew I came into program because I knew I needed other people because I could talk myself into crazy ideas. And I worked back and forth with things. I'm going to say that I have two abstinence states. One is the date from sugar. But before that, I had back and forth and working really hard on having times without eating sugar and had a major death in the family that was complicated. And it was not in my family. It was my father-in-law that died. Therefore, I should take care of everybody else and not myself. And I can look back at that and see that. And I was angry at God about the way things happen. I can look back and see that. So emotions I didn't handle well. I've learned in program how to live with emotions, but I still don't know immediately what I am feeling. So I was moving around 200, 220 in those weights. And I had a major relapse in that circumstance and ended up weighing 285 pounds. And that's the last time I weighed myself that I weighed 285 pounds, and certainly was likely over that. And at that point, we had questions. Didn't have, I don't think, I don't know where when the HAL program started, but there were sets of questions on papers. We did not have books. But the set of questions, I went through those with a sponsor, with three different sponsors, and then had the time that now in how is a step up, but for me it was like, oh good, I'm done. And that didn't work. But I'm grateful that for that day, June 15th of 1990, at the end of June 1990, I looked back and realized I haven't eaten sugar in 2 weeks. And then a month later, I haven't eaten sugar in a month. I haven't eaten sugar in 2 months, and on and on. So that's why I say that's my first state, because I was aware of the sugar. And since then, I've become aware of other, but I had to get through that first. And I learned that angry, I didn't know about angry. And someone said to me, you know, if that happened to me, I'd be angry about it. Oh, really? And there is in the sixth step, says, strangely enough, we have no problem deciding if someone has hurt us. And that is not true for me. So I need to look at emotions, and I do not know immediately what my emotions are. But now I know that's true, and I know that I need to acknowledge all emotions and to live with them. And I've learned that anger has a beginning, middle, and end, and that I can get through that too. So it's on the outside of things. I have had my second abstinent state is from with a eating within a food plan, and no binging is since December 28th of 2002. So that's almost 20 years, but I've been in almost 40 years, no, in OA. So it takes what it takes. My weight loss relates to the beginning part. I weigh about 140 pounds less than I did at my top weight. And I weigh myself once a month. And you know, it's up 1, 2 pounds. It's down, it's okay. I have to around that time I can go crazy. In the Lifeline magazine, there was a comics page, and one of them was during a summertime, changing clothes during the day. Strangely enough, I seem to have lost and gained the same 10 pounds all day long. And I do that around that time at the end of the month, but I don't have the rest of the month, I don't have it. My scale, fortunately, I was living with somebody that was able to, with you know, my sort of assistant, take away the scale, so I wasn't weighing myself all the time. And so I've had gifts, just gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts in this program. And I'm grateful to be here today. I do weigh my and measure my breakfast all the time. I have learned to be able to eat in many circumstances. I'm grateful to be able to do this today because we're having a family park meeting, a party in the park tomorrow. And I remember last year, this is the first time we did this. We're actually going to meet in person, and we're going to have food. You know what? People bring food, and then when are you going to eat it? And I'll call, okay, breathe, you know, work out a plan, because I can't guarantee exactly what people are bringing, but they're not in that place. And I say at the beginning, we have been in a place where I bring my own food or something. That is not I'm grateful that I can be with other people and eat food and that I have space from food. This kind of day and Halloween kind of day, I know that really is not mine. It's over there. I may need to look out, keep my eyes not looking at food. I need not to smell it, but I know that many foods are not mine. And it's okay to have foods that are not mine. And that's a real gift of this program, that I can live and I can wake up this morning with this gratitude that one of the things that I did with food, and I did it first with other things, is I was writing in that time when I was doing all that writing about the second step. I realized that even though I didn't logically believe this, I was believing that my higher power's job, I called God, was to watch me and make sure that I punished myself, because if I didn't punish myself, then God had to do that. And I actually did injure myself, not with scars and stuff. And then I learned that I injured myself with food, punished myself with food, when I was eating, found myself eating at midnight, and I talked with my sponsor about, so I'm eating at midnight, I don't know why. She says, well, just write down what happened during the day. Just keep writing what happened during the day. And the time that I got the aha moment, which is one of the things that I get in program, is, oh, I had gotten this wonderful new thing. It was going to take blood. My son had a scar that he kept opening, and so it had his clothes would have blood on them. And how do you clean off blood? And so I got this thing. Oh, this cleans off blood. And then it says, don't use on t-shirts. What do you mean, don't use on t-shirts? So I, being obstreperous, I tried it on t-shirts. They were right because they're like knitted, and so it had bleach in it, made holes in them. And then I was upset because I had done that thing. And I could see this, I could feel this thing of going to eat at midnight. But this aha moment, oh, so you're going to punish yourself for blowing it with the t-shirts by eating at midnight. And I was at a point where I could say, no, I'm not going to do that. And that was in before 1990 at some point. And I get gifts. One of my latest gifts is I got to be able to eat all that I have here. And people talked about leaving a bite. Well, I can't quite leave a bite, but I did get this aha statement in a moment. You cannot clean the bowl and eat that. And so I do that with a smile on my face going, I can put this bowl away and put it in the sink and put soapy water in it and clean it. I'm done. I don't have to clean off every little bit of it. It's just these aha moments I get in food, about food. It's knowing foods that are safe, and there's, you know, people come up with different kinds of food that I haven't had before. And I have traveled to other cultures, lived in other cultures, eating their plant. I walk in with, the reason I say I can't eat sugar to somebody is that I'm saying at the very beginning, I can't eat sugar. So it's not about whatever you're giving me. I'm not eating that thing, even though you made it, or because you made it, or whatever. That's the start, and this is the fact of this woman here does not eat sugar. And other foods, I know there are some things I can eat and some things I can't eat, and some things maybe medically I can't eat either, but I can live in different cultures. I can eat under different circumstances. So I get to do that again tomorrow, like we did last year and have done since. We did a Christmas sort of thing too. And I get to be with all of you and to hear myself saying things. And that's part of what I talk. When I talk, it's to listen to myself saying these things and saying that for what I'm grateful, and to know that I'm grateful for all of you and all of your blessings of being here. Thank you, Donna. I love it. And for all the teaching that I keep getting from listening to other people's shares and the way that I can share, and it helps me, and I get to listen. I get to grateful that I get to come to the meeting and hear the how readings, and I have learned a lot consistently through a lot of what goes on in LA, and even more. Thank you very much.